Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
It is the Brett Winterbull Show. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Welcome to Tuesday. I wasn't here yesterday. I was under the weather, but I'm in fine fighting shape now. So if you'd wish to have a fight, 704-570-1110. Not really having a fight. But there is so much stuff. There is so much stuff going on out there. And I want to start with something that has nothing to do with Ukraine. Not really anything to do with the SOB comment from Biden. None of that. It just goes to show you how hair trigger we are as a culture, as a country, as a society. This is a story that comes to us from the great Keystone State of Pennsylvania. I call it Pennsyltucky. Many people call it something else. This is a story that is just incredible, and it shows you how triggered we all are under current circumstances. Driver who stopped to help when truck carrying 100 lab monkeys crashed in Pennsylvania and put her hands in one of the cages now says she has a cough and pink eye after one of the macaques hissed in her face. He went up, hissed right in her face. One of the macaques went, right in her face. The woman who stopped to help the monkeys in a truck crash is now feeling unwell. What do you think they're saying? They're saying they're not sure that some of these monkeys weren't infected with COVID from the lab, and now they're running loose. Crates. Now, just envision this. The children who may be listening to the program, I don't want, none of the monkeys were injured. Don't worry about this. I don't want you getting upset. But I'm going to read a description, and I don't want to upset anybody, but it's just kind of an interesting visual in my mind. And imagine TJ sitting right there. He'll get an interesting visual in his mind. So here's what it is. Woman who stopped to help monkeys in a truck crash, now feeling unwell. Michelle Fallon from Danville near Scranton, Joe Biden's hometown, was directly behind the truck. Fallon said the day following the accident, she developed a cough and pink eye. She's begun a course of antiviral drugs and treatment to prevent rabies. The last of the four escaped monkeys was accounted for late Saturday. One of the cynomolgus macaques, which are also known as crab-eating or long-tailed macaques, was found in a tree. Pennsylvania residents had warned not to engage crab-eating macaques that escaped from a truck carrying 100 of them to the lab. If you see a crab-eating macaque, stay away. Don't go near him. Don't you understand? He's having a captain's feast as crab-eating. Like, somebody had to name that monkey breed. I just called it a brand. What brand of monkey was that? It was a crab-eating monkey. Where did you pick him up? Red Lobster? Captain D's? Where'd you get him? I mean, my gosh, they just gave them horrible names. The cynomolgus macaques, which are also known as crab-eating or long-tailed. How do you go from crab-eating to long-tailed? Like, it could be long-tailed, it could be crab-eating. This happens in our country. Pennsylvania residents have been warned not to engage a crab-eating macaque that escaped from a truck carrying 100 of them. It reminds me of the old George Carlin bit where they say, anytime there's a prison escape, why do they warn everybody that lives near the prison? Because that's the last place the inmates are going to be. They're not going to be anywhere near the prison. Crates with live monkeys inside were strewn across State Route 54 in Danville, just 130 miles from Philadelphia, after the crash. A witness said, We're going to have to restart the show, man, because this thing just took a whole turn. Wait. A witness said he thought he saw a cat run across the road before making the shocking realization it was actually a fleeing primate. See you guys later. I'm out of here. I hear they got crabs in this town, and I'm getting some with my long tail. Now, a woman who stopped, so she'd be a good Samaritan wanting to help these monkeys, who stopped to help the truck after carrying 100 lab monkeys crashing in Pennsylvania, fears that she caught an illness from one of the macaques because it hissed at her in the face, leaving her with pink eye symptoms. Maybe he just had pink eye. Why does it have to be like some other thing? What do you do for that? Preparation H? I don't even know what you do for that. So she went and got a rabies shot and wrote about the symptoms that she has since suffered. She's posted this on Facebook, also told Pennsylvania homepage that she developed symptoms of pink eye and inflammation or infection of the eyeball. Well, eat some crabs. It's good enough. It helped the monkeys. She said, one of her quotes, really, this is quite an important quote. She said, I was close to the monkeys. I touched the crates. I walked through their feces. I was very Why? Did you not see it? It makes it sound like she's proud of that fact. So in love with these primates, I touched the crates. I walked through their feces. I was very close. I called a helpline to inquire. You know, was I safe? What number do you call? Hello? Monkey fecal hotline. Can we help you? Oh, what kind of monkey was it? A crab-eating macaque? Those are the worst. Immediately begin cold compresses and hot toddies. Because the monkey did hiss at me and there was feces around, I did feel I have an open cut. I want to be precautious. No, you want to be cautious, because precautious would have mean you would have taken care of it before the monkey feces went on the road, because the cat made the truck go off the road, and the crab-eating monkeys were going nuts. I mean, my gosh, all you needed was 100 typewriters, and you could have maybe possibly gotten Hamlet. These crates are terrible. These crates look like something you'd ship a trombone in. Oh, look at the feces all over the road. In this picture, there's a worker working to try to get the truck back up, set up right. There's apparently a video of there's one of these macaques. He's all mad. He's refusing to come out of the truck now. He's got a jacket. He put a jacket, took the handler's jacket on. He's wearing it. Unbelievable, ladies and gentlemen. This is why we need that infrastructure bill. Better roads.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. It appears that all the monkeys have been accounted for. No monkeys were hurt in the filming of this story. 704-570-1110. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. It is great to be here with you. All right, I'm not going to keep monkeying around. I'm going to get into some other stuff here, important stuff here. Well, we're going to talk about, what's going on in Ukraine. Now, Ukraine, this is an interesting situation. There is a lesson to be taken from Ukraine, and I'll share that with you in just a moment. But let me first pick up the piece here and get Jim in San Diego. This may be the earliest appearance you've ever made on the program.
Wow, it's the shortest I've ever had to wait on the phone.
Look at that. Look at that.
Yes. Is there any word on whether the the crab-eating macaques were on a red-hot ride to Joytown?
Well, wait a minute. That could have been a red-hot ride to Joytown. Red-hot ride to Joytown is a whole other situation. We have to go talk to the lady about the rash. But here's the thing. They were minding their business. They crashed into the truck carrying the monkeys actually crashed into a garbage truck. That's what happened. It crashed into a garbage truck, and then that is where the mayhem ensued. Okay? It gets better. It gets better, okay? Upon further information, Jim, this is real. This is not TJ can verify because I read it to him. So the woman involved, Ms. Fallon, posted information up on her Facebook page. I'm not going to give her Facebook page or anything like that. But she says in her post that she says, "What a day. I tried to help out at an accident and was told there were cats in the crates. I went over to pet them only to find it was monkeys. Then I noticed there was three in each with some completely broken," which is kind of an odd bit of grammar because it sounds like the monkeys were broken, but the boxes were broken. She knew four had gotten away, and then she went and started to raise the alarm about this walking through the monkey poo. So that's it. So it was, she thought it was cats. Somebody saw a cat run across the road. No cats were injured. No monkeys were injured.
Well, that's terrible that any cats were involved. I know how much you love your cats.
Cats are awesome pets. That's been established. Yes.
Right. In passing, you mentioned not too long ago that you have just cat now. So I want to give my pay my respects to your to whoever in your family is did we have a somebody in your family member pass away or something?
No, we have some cats and a couple of parakeets. There's no inclination to believe that anybody in my family has left the planet. Okay, we're still intact. I have more than cats. I have a functioning family.
All your cats were accounted for. Just wanted to make sure.
That's correct. One of them went out for some crab eating macaque, and I don't know what that was about. So that was Jim checking in. That was a little early. He didn't kill the show though. That's okay. We can continue to go. So Ukraine. I want to go back in time. I want to go back in time about 8 years ago, and it's going to be a cut number two. This was a very famous clip from the 2020 campaign. Joe Biden bragging about getting the prosecutor fired in Ukraine so that they would get $1 billion. Cut two, please.
So I got Ukraine, and I remember going over convincing our team, or others, to convincing us that we should be providing for loan guarantees. And I went over, the 12th, 13th time to Kyiv, and I was supposed to announce that there was another $1 billion loan guarantee. And I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. So they said they were walking out to press conference. We're not going to give you the $1 billion. They said, "You have no authority. You're not the president." The president said, I said, "Call him." I said, "I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, "You're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here." And I think it was, 6 hours? I said, "I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money."
Well, SOB, they fired the prosecutor. Remember that big brag that he did? Now, think about this for a second, because that is 2016. Do you know the Nord Stream 2 pipeline that's going from Russia into Germany? That is now supported by President Biden and the Democrats in Washington, D.C. Do you know he opposed it back in 2014 and 2015? Cut number three, Joe Biden opposed the Nord Stream 2 pipeline when he was the vice president.
No country should be able to use energy as a weapon. No country should be able to use energy to coerce policies from other nations or actions. And speaking for ourselves, speaking for the United States, Nord Stream 2 pipeline, we think, is a fundamentally bad deal for Europe. My colleagues joke with me when I say I never tell another man or woman what's in their interest. But I can tell you from our perspective, It looks like a fairly bad deal, and I know you are going to examine it, as the rest of your colleagues in Europe as well. Europe needs diverse sources of gas, not, in our view, new Nord Stream 2 pipeline. And to lock in greater reliance on Russia at this moment, I think risks this. I know it will fundamentally destabilize Ukraine.
Ukraine is a country of 44 million people. So it's just a little bit bigger than, say, California in terms of population. Isn't it interesting that the entire focus of the world is on that piece of real estate right now? And that for whatever reason, and I can't explain it, that for whatever reason, the Bidens seem to be singularly focused on that piece of geography. Now, I know, Hunter had his deals with Burisma and was on the board and it was a no-show job and all that. But isn't it kind of weird how they're still wired in that way and obsessed with things in Ukraine? Isn't that strange to you? I mean, isn't that odd? Pick another country on a map someplace. Let's say Indonesia. Much larger country. Much more strategically important country. And imagine the president of the United States had this amazing, strange interest in things in Indonesia. You'd be like, why are you paying so much attention to Indonesia? Why are you paying such attention to Ukraine? It's like everywhere you turn. You got Russians in Ukraine. Ukraine and Russia, all of that, it just seems to dog the Obama, Biden-Harris administration.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Doesn't it? News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. Joined early by Bo Thompson. We're crossing the streams at 3:35. How are you, Bo Thompson? Good to have you here, my friend.
I'm good. Thanks for accommodating me early today. I appreciate it.
Always. Never an issue. Never a problem. But, you know, it's good that you're joining me kind of early here because I was going to play a little sound. Sometimes you'll play sound when I'm joining you in the morning. And I've got some sound to play for you, and I think we can have some fun with this. Peter Ducey, it was the star of the press conference again today, as he was, or the White House briefing. It's not a press conference, but it's the right. White House briefing, and he was swinging pretty good for being one day removed from being called a terrible name by the President of the United States. And here's something that he brought up that I thought was actually really good. It was cut number 10. He's talking about Ukraine and about what's different from June to now. Go.
I'm just asking, it seems like the president thought in June that things were going to be good. And right now, things are not looking good.
I don't actually think that's at all what the president said. He gave an extensive press conference where he conveyed it wouldn't happen overnight and that there was work that we could do together. And that is something that's how you approach a diplomatic relationship. You are vocal. There are consequences when you disagree and when you have strong concerns. And you've seen us implement those. You still look for places and areas where you can work together. That remains how we're working with Russia.
They seem kind of tense at that White House when he asks questions, Bo.
You know, he's an interesting study because when Biden became president, they said they were elevating Peter Ducey to this lead role at the White House for Fox. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's kind of in the shadow of his father to a degree because his father, Steve, is part of that Fox and Friends morning show. But Peter Ducey is becoming quite the star. And I think one of the reasons is that he seems to enjoy the spotlight and he performs very well under pressure. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree 100%. And they've put together a pretty good team covering that White House. They got Jackie Heinrich will be at some of the briefings and some of the events, and then Peter Ducey will be at the others. And you know what they're doing? Fox went back to the old school model. Now, I want you to, you're a political geek like I am, a junkie like I am. Go back to the George W. Bush days. remember, he had a number of reporters who would come at him and come at him pretty hard, okay? Mm-hmm. And you remember he had nicknames for the reporters. He had Stretch and Super Stretch. And because that was, there was, Stretch was David Gregory, mm-hmm. and then Super Stretch was the guy who used to write for the Washington Times, and I'm drawing a blank on his name right now. Bill Salmon. Now you got Peter Doocy in the room, and I think he goes like 6'6". He's not a small guy. So when he's standing there throwing the questions at either Sackey or at the president, he's standing out. He's no 5'9" Jim Acosta.
Yeah, and it's interesting. You know, his father plays kind of the light. The lightest thing that Fox News does, and
right.
it's a morning show, so it's supposed to be light. It's by design. But his father is not at all a combative reporter.
No.
You know, tough questioner guy. So I feel like Peter, when he got the job, he probably knew correctly that people were going to assume that's what they were getting because he's Steve Doocy's dad, and you know he's going to have to double down. But I think he's doubled down in a way that doesn't come across as. I mean, look, Jim Acosta was mm-hmm. essentially the Peter Doocy equivalent during Trump's presidency. I don't mean that I'm comparing the two of them
sure.
as far as chops or as far as style, but the one guy that you knew that kind of made a name for himself
right.
as the most, and it's because of a couple of combative situations, but that's the guy people would probably point to and say, who's the adversary or who's the reporter that stands up to President Trump and asks, you know, unpopular questions to him the most? That would be Acosta. And Doocy sort of has assumed the conservative role there, at least from the standpoint of Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he does a much better job of asking questions that need to be asked, but he doesn't do it coming across as being arrogant or being off-putting.
Right. He's not, and I don't think he is. I think he's very professional, but he's also very, very specific in the things he raises. He did something else today. This is cut number 11A. This is Doocy still talking to Jen Psaki about this BuzzFeed report.
There's a BuzzFeed report now suggesting that the Ukrainian government is upset the U.S. pulled citizens out of Ukraine before many other countries did. And this report says that a source close to the Ukrainian president thinks those Americans are safer in Kyiv than in Los Angeles. What do you make of that?
Well, we're always going to make decisions that are in the security interests of people who are serving as diplomats around the world. And we have assessments that are made by the State Department, hence the decision and the announcement made over the last couple of days, and the fact that we put in a level 4 advisory back in October, conveying very clearly to Americans they should leave Ukraine. Look, I will let others assess, but there are 100,000 troops, Russian troops, on the border of Ukraine, and no clarity that the leader of Russia doesn't intend to invade. That sounds pretty dangerous to me. I would also say that the Ukrainian leaders have welcomed the security assistance, and they've even met us at the airport that we have been providing over the course of the last several days. So that seems to be contradicting that assessment.
It's pretty good. See, she misses completely the line. That's the killer line in that, which is, hey, your diplomats are going to be safer in Kyiv than they are going to be on the streets of Los Angeles.
Yeah, exactly. And it makes me, as I listen to her answer, I was talking to Mick Mulvaney yesterday because we were talking about how long various staffers last in a given administration. And
right.
we know how many press secretaries President Trump went through, and he went through several chiefs of staff, obviously. I wonder how long Psaki will stay at this, either by her doing or whether they think she's... By most accounts, I think Democrats that I hear talk think she's doing a good job. I know Republicans think that she's way too... almost condescending sometimes.
Yeah, I think that's a very good analogy, or a very good descriptive right there. Bo, what do you got coming up tomorrow on the show? Who you be featuring? What's going on?
We've got the latest on everything going on with, as we've been talking about here, with Russia and Ukraine. Beth Troutman back with me a second day tomorrow. And if you missed today's show, we spent a lot of today talking about Beth recovering from COVID. That's where she was last week, and she had a pretty rough go with it. And you know, Omicron continues to evolve here. Some people vaxxed and boosted have, mm-hmm. have had mild symptoms, and some people have got that pretty severe breakthrough. Tricia Cottom is somebody we were talking about this morning. So we'll talk about other things than that tomorrow, but we got a twofer this week with Beth Troutman, and that starts just past 8 o'clock.
We'll be tuning in starting at 5 a.m. tomorrow, my friend. I appreciate you being there, and go get them.
Yes, sir. Have a good afternoon.
You got it. That's Bo Thompson, News Talk 1110.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
93 WBT. News Talk 1110, 993 WBT, Brett Witterble Show. The Biden administration is withdrawing COVID-19 vaccination and testing regulations aimed at large businesses. So that's a retreat in Afghanistan. That's a retreat with the COVID-19 mandate, I guess. The Biden administration's withdrawing its COVID-19 vaccination and testing regulation aimed at large businesses following the Supreme Court's decision to block the rule earlier this month. The U.S. Department of Labor's Occupational Safety and Health Administration said Tuesday it'll be withdrawing the vaccination and testing emergency temporary standard for businesses with 100 or more employees. Although OSHA is withdrawing the vaccination and testing ETS as an enforceable emergency temporary standard, the agency is not withdrawing the ETS as a proposed rule. The agency is prioritizing resources to focus on finalizing a permanent COVID-19 healthcare standard. Wait a minute. Hold on. El Faucho said if we got the shots and we wore the masks, paper mache, fabric, whatever it was, they told us that we could beat this virus. They want a permanent COVID-19 vaccine standard? What is that all about? Somebody ask Fauci. I mean, if in fact we were funding this gain-of-function research, and I do believe we were, somebody's got that DNA map that they can use to stop this thing. Maybe it's the Chi-Coms. I don't know. But the decision comes less than 2 weeks after the Supreme Court blocked the rule, dealing a major blow to President Joe Biden's attempts to use the power of the federal government to combat the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, you still have that power. He's buying 57 trillion testing kits. He's buying, you know, billions and billions. I sound like Carl Sagan. Billions and billions of N95 masks made in China. He's doing all of that stuff. So he's committed. I mean, he's committed to doing this. He's going to fund this effort for a very long time, but I think it's a big deal. Because remember when Ron Klain shot his mouth off in an interview? Ron Klain is your chief of staff, by the way. If you need to talk to your chief of staff, it's Ron Klain at the White House. He's the guy who programs the White House so that we know what we're going to be talking about on any given day. And so when they came out with this OSHA mandate, you must get the vaccine and test or pay fines and penalties if you have more than 100 employees. And the Supreme Court said, you know what's interesting? Why did Ron Klain call the OSHA standard the workaround? That was raised during the Supreme Court hearing. Oh, so you consider this to be a workaround? Like an end run? Like an end run around the Constitution and the rules? You don't have that kind of power, Ron Klain. You know what I think we're going to end up seeing? I think we're going to end up seeing Ron Klain and Jen Psaki leaving the White House in the back of a convertible. They're going to just drive on down the road and go start a reality show. Get me out of here. I'm a former chief of staff. And get me out of here. I'm a former spokesperson. Perhaps you could be Ron Klain's chief of staff in her spare time. But here's the deal. People, this is what's bugging them the most. People have kind of moved on from the imperative of COVID-19. Now, I'm not saying COVID-19 is not important. I'm not saying COVID-19 didn't kill 800,000 Americans. It did. That's terrible. It's a tragedy. It's the worst thing ever. We've punished our children by far the most of all, making them wear masks, making them go in picture day in a mask, and making them go in the yearbook in a mask, and all this kind of stuff. Flint, Michigan's doing unending, interminable virtual learning in their school system. But the American people, they've started to check their phones, and they're starting to look at their watches, and they're starting to look at the Joe Show, hashtag the Joe Show, and they're starting to say, this is boring. I mean, there's no concessions available in the theater because of the supply chain. I got people coming in and trying to take my seat constantly because there's no border or security. We've got rampant crime. And now we're still supposed to think that this thing is still going to go on for a really long time with the COVID. Most of the American people, I guarantee you, are going, you know what? May 1st, 2022, I'm opting out of the entire COVID. I think that's what people are going to start to do. They're going to get a look towards that summer coming up. And this will be the summer of 2022, which had us in lockdown in the summer of 2021 and had us in the lockdown of summer 2020 and the beginnings of that in the fall of 2019. And I'm telling you something right now, folks, these people want out. You know darn well you agree with me. You want out of this. You're not thinking about it anymore. You're saying, you know what? I took the shot. Let's take our chances. That's what we got to do. Free the children. Liberate the children. Liberate your faces. That's what people are looking towards. Because what has come as a result of the desperation of the endless lockdowns is the endless crime. And coming up in a matter of minutes, he's coming back for the first time since the election in New York. Curtis Sliwa is going to join us. We're going to talk about safety on the streets of the big, mean city, New York. Eric Adams is proposing new ideas. And unfortunately, earlier today, we lost another NYPD officer, that second officer who had been shot going into the weekend. This is going to be a great conversation. You're going to want to hear it. News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Hour number two of the Brent Winterville Show, News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Great to be here with you. Our phone number is always 704-570-1110. So things are continuing to get hot over in the Ukraine. Well, they're not hot. See, they're not hot because the Russians haven't crossed that line or even made like a little sort of, insertion or whatever it was, the term that was President Biden was using last week. Well, you know, maybe an incursion. We have to wait and see. No. Don't give them a standard by which they can do these sorts of things. What are you doing? It is great to be here with you. I want to grab this call from the from a caller who's been on hold, and then we're efforting Curtis Sliwa as we speak. Tommy, welcome to the program. How are you?
What's going on, buddy?
I'm doing well. What's on your mind, sir?
Love your show, man. Love your show. I'm your number one Latino fan here, brother.
I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you being out there.
Hey, really quick. You were talking about a minute ago how people are kind of fed up with COVID.
Yes.
Really quick story. My daughter, she wasn't feeling good about a week and a half ago. So, you know, we did what we all do, you know, masks and all that crap. And then you got to go take your test, right? She got three tests. Three. One, two, three.
Yeah.
Right? They all came out negative. She going to the doctor today that she's feeling really good, right?
Right.
And she do a test. She came out positive. So my wife's a nurse. She working, you know, here, a big hospital in the uptown. And she said to me, honey, I don't get it. Why in the world she get three tests? They all came out negative. And, you know, two were at home and the other one legit. Take it to a lab and all that.
Right.
Came out negative, and then the last one, when she's already off of 2 weeks of quarantine, she came out positive. So I just want to share that with you, my brother, because I know that you're the real deal, man. And you know, and I'm not conspiracy, none of that crap. Just you know, it's weird. It's weird.
It is. Look, it is weird because look, if you go and you get tested for strep throat, or you go and you get tested for something else, and you either get it or you don't. Okay, you have it. No, you don't have it. You're okay. This is one of those weird things, and this was the issue that was raised a long time ago by someone who said, "Hey, do we know for sure that these tests that you guys are buying are even going to match up to Omicron? Or these things been sitting in a warehouse for like 6 months or 2 years?
Who knows?
They don't know. I feel like they got us coming and going, Tommy.
You're right, hey, bro. I love your show. I love
Thank you, buddy.
Man.
I appreciate you, man. Bye. Be safe out there. That's Tommy. I mean, it's frustrating because what happens? You expect when you're told, do this process, do this procedure, take this test. I mean, really think about this for a second. This is an important point to really, really digest, okay? The IRS is preparing you to expect that your refund is going to be delayed because they're short-staffed and they don't have money. The IRS is putting out these alerts. Well, you know, get them in filed early because these things are all. We still have 15 million tax returns from last year that we're still correcting and looking at. And we can't even get into these from this year until then. And the computers we have is from the 1970s and the 1960s. And we can't even write in that language anymore. We don't even know what the coding language is for that anymore. It's Pascal or something or whatever it is. And what else have you got? Oh, okay, we're not going to be able to get you your money back, but we may come back at you and say that your return is incorrect and you owe us more money. We may shake you down this way. We may shake you down coming and going. Now, that may be what happens. That may be the thing that's occurring. You know, just be prepared for that. Okay, so, you know, we don't know. We got to see what's going to happen with the COVID and the tests and all this sort of stuff. You know, we have to see how that's going to work out. And then we'll be able to apply an answer. No, you can't come into a situation and say, we're going to collect all the tax revenues. We're going to handle all the tax forms, all the returns and all of that. We're going to get the money out in no time at all. This government is only good at incompetence. And I'm serious when I say it. Now, I'm not insulting the individual government employees. I'm talking about the systems that we have. Look, you guys probably got those bonuses for your kids from the federal government. They called them child tax credits or child care credits or whatever it was that they were calling them. And they were putting $300 a month or $300 a week into your account. And you're like, hey, this is great. It's like free money showing up, man. I'm glad we got three kids. This is great. We're making money. You understand that that is all taxable. And you had no way to refuse those dollars. Do you understand that that's the case? So if you got those child tax credits, that money that's been deposited in your checking account or in your savings account or however you received it, and you were getting $300 a month, I think it was $300 a month, right? You got $300 a month, and it was like 5 or 6 months, and you got $1,800, you got to pay taxes back to it. So what smart people did was they kept that money in a pile in the bank. They didn't touch it. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to pay the taxes out of the government's money that goes back for the government taxes on the money they didn't even ask for and had no way to refuse. Like, let that sink in. Hi, we'd like to send you some money. Actually, I'm okay. My kids don't need a credit. It's fine. We actually don't need this money. Why don't you give it to some people who need this money, and that would be much better. No, you have to take it. We have a social security number, and it's attached to this bank account, and you have to take this money, and then you're going to have to report it as income when you do your tax returns, and you have to pay us a portion of the money we sent you back to us. Why didn't you just take it out in the front end? No, we don't do that. We're in the business of collection. We're in the business of distribution and collection. We distribute you the money, but we collect it back from you, plus a little extra. It's insane. It's bizarre. It's a phony Ponzi scheme. And you had no way to refuse it. None. Zero. This is how bad this mess has become. We're still efforting Curtis Sliwa. This is how bad and how inefficient government has become. And the party in power right now, is the party of government. Understand that if you understand nothing else. The party in power is the party of government. The Democratic Party is the party that will tell you that they are expert in running government, that the Republicans are all anti-government and insurrectionists and run the banks and are big oil companies and all that kind of stuff. They are the experts. Are you seeing expertise play out? I'm not.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Limitarianism, not libertarianism, limitarianism. You're going to like it. It's going to be interesting. Eric Adams suddenly got religion. This is an interesting story. Eric Adams is cut number 11. He came out last night, laid out his vision for how it is he wants to take on gun violence in the city of New York. And he says this.
New York is filled as if a sea of violence is engulfing our city. But as your mayor, I promise you, I will not let this happen. We will not surrender our city to the violent few.
Will not surrender our city to the violent few. Are we going to start seeing a trend line form here? Let's find out. I want to jump out and talk to Richard, who's retired NYPD. Appreciate you making the call today, sir, and thank you for your service.
Oh, you're welcome. I was a cop in the Bronx. I did anti-crime in the Bronx, in that Soundview area, and as well as the 52nd Precinct, where the 11-month-old was shot in the head, unfortunately.
Ugh.
Couple of things. A, I think, unfortunately, the Democrats who run New York, they understand that it's falling apart, and they're running from the policies and the defund the police, so now they're backpedaling because they have no choice, including Eric Adams, who was the Brooklyn Borough President at the time.
Right, that's right.
Couple of solutions. Yeah, you're going to have to bring back anti-crime, and they're going to have to try to get guns off the street. So how do you get guns off the street? Because there will be collateral damage.
Mm-hmm.
When you get guns off the street, you're dealing with bad guys, and then sometimes you may be dealing with the wrong people who are good people, and then there's the perfect storm of a Amadou Diallo, which I was working that night in the 43rd Precinct. These things do happen. So when that does happen, you're going to see these politicians throw these cops under the bus like they always do.
So let me ask you a question then, Richard. So you're out there, you're on the beat, you're patrolling, and your experience is probably similar to many others in big cities, right? I'm assuming at the time that you were policing, you had a slightly more supportive structure around you rather than what we have now today. What's a beat cop supposed to do? You've got the body cam on. You're going to maybe try to effect some kind of a Terry stop where you stop and you question and you frisk and you try to see what they're doing. And maybe it goes bad or it goes sideways. Is the department going to back you up? Or is BLM going to come out there and you're going to be on the cover of every newspaper? What happens then, Richard, for you as a cop?
Well, unfortunately, that is the Pandora's box, and that's the genie that they let out of the bottle, and they're not going to be able to put that genie back. Because if you are a cop and you are doing the right thing, and it goes sideways, there's going to be an avalanche of the Al Sharpton-like Black Lives Matter types that are going to bury you. And I don't see how they're going to be able to do it other than if they do surveillance, plain clothes, in unmarked vehicles, and they actually videotape people committing, let's say, violations.
Right.
Then you have a right to stop and frisk people, and it's documented. It's just not my word as a cop who says, well, this guy was walking a certain way, and I tossed him, I searched him, and now I got a gun. Or it goes sideways, and it's just my articulation and my word. So if you have video documentation of whatever it could be, smoking weed, hanging out, loitering, whatever the case is, and then you engage people and you do a stop, question, and frisk. If it goes sideways, at least you have documentation mm-hmm. as to the reason why you stopped this individual.
So when you look at this picture, and it's obviously it's an issue around the country, right? I mean, we see the big cities all have all the same challenges in front of them, some of them much more severe than others. But let me ask you, one of the things Eric Adams proposed last night was he wants cops that are patrolling the streets of New York, NYPD officers, to live in New York, in New York City, in one of the boroughs, because he says it's not right that you go out to Long Island or New Jersey or wherever, and then you come in and police your shift, and then you go out and you live somewhere else. He wants the cops to live in the city, to pay taxes in the city, and to send the kids to the city schools.
Yeah, so he wants the cops to be trapped in the same cesspool that they have to police. Most of the cops, a lot of the cops do live in the five boroughs, mm-hmm. but at the same time, do I want to run into that guy that I just took a gun off, and now I got to run into him in the nearest supermarket or so on and so forth?
Oh, that's a good point.
I don't want that. Now, a lot of cops do live in the city.
Yeah.
A lot of cops flee the city like everybody else. And they want to work there. I did the same thing. At some point, I had to take my family out of there because it was just an absolute mess.
Yeah.
So I moved up to Orange County, and I commuted for an hour or sometimes 2 hours to get into work.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not going to work. Policing is, you can't change. You're not going to reinvent the wheel. How about that?
Yeah.
And the other thing, quite frankly, is that people don't want to say what I'm about to say, and I'm a black man. The black community is broken. Where are the fathers? They're talking about mass incarceration. Let's talk about mass deficiency in terms of males being fathers. They don't want to talk about that.
Well, the challenge of that, Richard, is that they look to then the PD to fix all those problems, right? I mean, you're expected to handle the homeless, handle the emotionally disturbed person, handle criminals, handle lost kids, crisis situation. I mean, you're the backstop for all that. I mean, the cops are the people that get called for everything.
Not to mention, listen, you have the border wide open.
Right.
You're getting good people.
Yeah.
And you're getting a lot of bad people, mm-hmm. cartels.
Yeah.
Drug dealers,
mm-hmm.
not to mention people who might want to blow up another building.
Right, right.
So all of these things is a perfect storm, mm-hmm. and they're trying to put this genie back in the bottle, and I don't think they're going to be able to do it because policing, you cannot reinvent the wheel, but they like to try, mm-hmm. and getting guns off the street,
mm-hmm.
there's going to be, unfortunately, collateral damage when you do that.
Richard, I appreciate your efforts on the main streets of the Bronx and patrolling the city and sharing your experiences with us. Please don't be a stranger and call back anytime. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you for your service. That's Richard checking in. Thoughts on that straight ahead. Also, limitarianism. What is it? You're going to hear it, and you might agree with it. We'll see. 704-570-1110. We'll still check in for Curtis Sliwa at some point.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
News Talk 1110 993 WBT, Brett Winterbull Show. One of the things that is so striking to me, and this will all kind of tie into itself, is you see these billionaires, these big tech types, the corporate media types, the big, big money guys, people like Soros and them, who are out there writing checks to try to get progressive states attorneys and attorneys general and progressive district attorneys to come into cities and continue to make them less safe, right? To make them less safe than they would be. Why is it that George Soros writes all these big fat checks to try to destabilize communities when he could easily take that money and write checks to help out actually poor people. Like, he's got billions and billions of dollars. The wealthy big tech types, the Hollywood mavens, all those folks who want to change the world could actually write checks and give money or homes or opportunity to people who are living in underprivileged circumstances. But instead, they want to make the streets less safe so that the right sort of ingredients for a revolution takes root. Now, make no mistake, this is not just about class envy. This is not just about being, you know, angry that people have more money than anybody else. There's a new ideology that's taken root here, and it's called limitarianism. This is cut number 13. I want you to hear the way this package is described by a reporter set up by Jane Pauley, and then the reporter who talks about what it is. What is it? Well, it's limiting how much money you can make. Go.
A recent report reveals the world's nearly 3,000 billionaires increased their wealth by $5 trillion last year, a rate unprecedented in human history, which prompts Mark Whitaker to ask, when is more than enough enough?
The wealth gap has reached stratospheric levels. The richest 1% of Americans now has almost 13 times the wealth of the bottom 50%. It's led some to consider maybe you can be too rich.
The examples are there.
Professor Ingrid Robains teaches philosophy and ethics at Utrecht University in the Netherlands. She's been promoting a concept called limitarianism. Define limitarianism.
So limitarianism is just a word for the thought that there should be a moral limit to how much wealth you can accumulate. So it's the idea that it's fine to be well off, but at some point one has too much.
Robains believes the case against the super rich isn't just moral. It's also environmental. From the profits of businesses that haven't paid for polluting the atmosphere to the emissions from mega mansions and private planes, and the unused dollars just sitting in offshore accounts.
There is money in the hands of those who are super wealthy that is not used for meeting their needs. It's used for luxury spending or for accumulating further and further, whereas we have this massive problem of climate change that also needs funding.
The world's wealthiest 1% are believed to use double the carbon emissions of the bottom 50%. So where to draw the bottom line on wealth?
In America, you now have the saying, there shouldn't be any billionaires. Every billionaire is a policy failure. And my initial reaction is no, a billion is way too much.
And so whatever your line would be, it would be under a billion.
Yes, absolutely. I think you can have a fully flourishing life and do all the things you want with, well, perhaps not with 10 million, but then with 20 million. I don't think you need a billion.
Europeans are responsible for so much damage in the world. I'm talking about actual continental Europeans right now who are alive. And and the folks who came before them. Think about the death and the destruction that has taken place because of crazy ideas out of continental Europe. Marxism came out of continental Europe. Hegelianism came out of continental Europe. Communism came out of continental Europe. Think about that for a second. All the deadly ideologies, all the deadly big ideas. I mean, just think about that. They've all emanated from the salons and the super wealthy and the royalty coming out of the continental states there of Europe. And we're the problem, right? We're the problem. We're the problem because we had people like Edison and Tesla. We're the problem because we had people like Morgan, and we had people like Ford and the great innovators like Steve Jobs. We're the problem. We're the problem. I'm just not seeing it. I'm just not seeing it. So you're going to get some little socialist professor saying, you may earn this much money. So where does the rest of the money go? Or do I just stop earning? Or do I just stop? How do we control that? You just come in and keep shaving a little bit off the top? Come on. Andrew, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yes, earlier today on Pete Callender's show, a gentleman had called in and was talking about legacy media being corrupt and was talking about how people tend to turn to alternative medias, and you know that's all fine and dandy. But I was just wondering, if we're talking, you know, White House level press, how could you even hope to have, you know, amateur journalists take part in White House, you know, type press conferences if, you know, the alphabet media are the ones that control all that. Like, they're the only ones that get the seat at the table in that regard. So we talk about freedom of the press, but we really don't have freedom of access to even have a press in a way to get the information. Because if I want to be an amateur journalist, I have to go through what they tell me happened, and then I have to go from there, it seems like. So I just wanted to get your opinion on that and your thoughts.
Well, I mean, anybody can apply to get credentialed to the White House. You have to be, I mean, I think at a minimum you would have to have a podcast, a blog, something that shows that you're actually covering stories, right? Substack, you know, whatever that would be. But you can get credentialed at the White House. You can get a credential. You can apply. You go through a background check. They take your picture, you know, all that sort of stuff. And you can go and cover stories at the White House. There are people that work freelance for media companies that do cover stories at the White House or at the Congress and stuff like that. It just takes doing. I mean, you can Google how do I get a credential for covering the Capitol, for covering the White House itself. It can be done.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that was just something I never thought about. And then, you know, we've been talking about the corruption of the media and stuff, and it's like, wow, I'd never really thought about how do you actually get into that.
You can look it up. You have to put a letter in. You got to send it in. You probably have to reach out to the White House Correspondents Association, you know, and see what their procedures are. There are a limited number. The reality is there's a limited number of seats in that room, in that briefing room, even under ideal circumstances. It's not a big room. It's probably got, you know, 50 seats in it, 40 seats in it. It's not a big room. It looks big on TV, but it's not.
Gotcha.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks for calling. Right, I appreciate you being out there. That's Andrew with a totally valid question. I thought that was spot on. 704-570-1110. News Talk 1110-993 WBT. A Boomer Von Cannon.
Yes, sir.
I'd take all the money from the billionaires, give it to you, my man. Boomer? Boomer, this is what we're going to do. I'm giving it over to you, and we're going to throw a blowout party.
We're going to get a suite up the stadium.
That's what we are. Are you kidding me?
Everything.
Heck yeah.
For the whole weekend.
For the whole week. We ain't leaving.
From Friday to Monday. We're not leaving. No will anyone else.
Well, so, you know what they say, how you make a small fortune in NASCAR racing.
How's that?
Start.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
With a big fortune. We're going to start off with Brian. Hello, Brian. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
What do you think about limitarianism?
I am all for it.
Wow. Why?
Of course, the version I'm all for is what used to be called believing in the Constitution and the limits of government over its citizens, but they don't call it that anymore.
Okay.
So that's the kind of limitarianism I am for.
Okay, I'll take it. Thanks, man. I appreciate the call. That was a little, you know, I thought maybe this was, I don't know. JR, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Doing good. Thanks, man. The problem I have with this is for billionaires to keep their wealth, they must give people a service or product that people willingly give up their cash for. So who do you want in charge? People who force you or don't give you any choices? Government?
Yeah.
Or a billionaire? And most of them wind up giving it back to the people anyway.
Well, they end up doing something with it. I don't know what exactly they do with it, but they do end up doing something. I mean, they make a foundation. They try to change the justice system. They try to do things like that. But it's interesting that the wealthier these people get, the more they go to the left. And they've got billions, and they're leftists, but they just don't want to use their money to hand out dollars to people who are poor.
Well, they go to the left because they control Washington.
That's a good
point. They control government.
Yeah. That's a fair point. Okay, I got you. I got you on that one. Okay. Let's try Corey. Hey, Corey, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mr. B, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Hey, yes, sir. Full disclosure, I'm not a Democrat, Republican, left-wing, right-wing, Black Lives Matter, monster, patriot, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
But, Mr. B, this was beautiful here. My daughters just got off work. They make $17 an hour.
Okay.
And they just happened to came in on a conversation where you made the comment of taking the wealth from the, not so much that you said take the wealth from the, take the money from the wealthy and things of that nature, right?
Right, right.
But they don't understand libertarian, right? They never really even discussed this word in their 23-year history on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
But when I started talking about critical race theory, that conversation me and you had about how land, wealth, property,
mm-hmm.
all these things were stolen from certain groups in African-American communities.
Yes.
If this had not happened,
mm-hmm.
we probably wouldn't even have this discussion with poverty amongst the black community because it would be thriving. But, like I said, I wasn't advocating take from people. I was advocating we need to change laws so that we can stop having this conversation. The wealthy is wealthy. They're going to keep passing off to their kids. They're not going to understand the struggle most of your riders are listening to. They're listening to you now working 40 hours a week
mm-hmm.
are doing.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to get to a Sandy Walton kids level. But we change the level in the playing field. I think we can stop a lot of this homeless stuff where we don't have to talk about giving homeless money and they ain't working hard for it.
Well, I mean, look, I think it's a huge point. The question is, How do you go about changing the system? Because no matter what you try to do, you're going to face opposition. If you try to cut taxes, you're going to have a constituency that wants to raise taxes. If you want to raise taxes...
Yes, sir. And the opposition is the problem. There's a reason why they want the scales to be unbalanced. They want us to constantly keep working for them. But until the majority that does all the work, push their foot down, say nothing's enough, we're tired of giving you all the money for your clothing, all the money for your building, all the money for your land, when we all deserve to have that liberty, quote unquote, that is in the Constitution.
Well, that's true. But do you know that we didn't have an income tax put into effect in the United States until 1861?
Yes, sir, for a reason.
Well, they put that into effect because of the Civil War, right? They were going to fund the Civil War. That's what prompted the first American income tax. Prior to that, it was all tariffs. So can you imagine if we were smart enough to figure out a way to package a tax system where it was all driven by tariffs, right? Or something else that does not require you to surrender 28% or 35% along the way when you're working during the year? Like, can you imagine, like, what that would look like?
Yes, sir. And I'm glad you used the word smart, because now we can say America is not the smartest people on the planet, and we can't figure out simple things like this.
Well, we can't maintain, we're not good with systems. I mean, systems don't work. Like, the systems don't work, right? You have to get efficient running organizations, but the system of government we have in Washington, D.C. is completely out of whack. I mean, it's just... If you drive through Washington, D.C., I'm not saying you, but the general you, like we drive through Washington, D.C., you see building after building after building. You have no idea what's going on in that building, but they're spending your money. Like, you don't even know what they're doing.
Yes, sir.
They could have the Department of Spending. That's what they could have. They actually have put a Department of Spending. Corey, always great to talk to you. Be well,
yes,
and
sir.
Call me
Thank
again.
Thank you so much, Mr. B.
Hey,
Thank
no,
you so
you're much. You're the best, man. I appreciate you being out there, Corey. Always like talking to the people here in the in Charlotte. Jeff, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, good to talk to you. I'm doing fine. I hope you are, too.
I am.
At the end of yesterday's show, you were talking about the test, a billion tests. I have a billion tests.
Right.
You know, if I have COVID, what is sending me a test going to do for me? It's going to tell me I got COVID.
Correct.
Save the test. Send me ivermectin.
Wow.
If they would, instead of sending out tests, if they would send out, like they do in India gave anybody the little care bags.
Yeah.
Save the money, Again, whose pocket all that money is going into sitting out all these tests? Send me ivermectin.
No, see, you say that word, and you know what happens. The lightning starts to strike. They start to scream, yelling and screaming. No, I'm an all-in guy. Use whatever works, right? I mean, use whatever works. Do you want to get a test? Get a test. But how does it save your life? How does it get you healthier? I don't know. I don't think it does. It just tells you you're sick, and that's it. And it may not even be right. It may tell you you're not sick, and you are sick, and it may tell you you are sick, and you're not sick.
That's right.
This is the problem.
And where's all that money going?
into the pockets of bureaucrats and people who are on the hookup. You know what I'm saying? That's what it is. 704-570-1110. All right, I've got somebody terrific coming by at the beginning of this next hour. I know it's not Curtis. We're still trying to chase him down. Who knows what he's doing? He's out there. He's probably out there. Thumping thugs. I don't know what he's doing. We're gonna catch up with R.J. Howman. He is gonna talk to us about what's going on at the border and how it is we got to fix this. News Talk 1110-993.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
WBT. News Talk 1110-993 WBT. It is the Brent Winterville Show. Great to be here with you. So one of the things that came up in the press conference earlier today, the White House briefing from Jen Psaki earlier today, was the issue of the border. And Peter Ducey asked a very important question. Actually, we're just going to go with cut number... I'm going to go to cut number 8. Cut number 8. So Peter Ducey asked Jen Psaki this question about what's going on at the border. Cut 9.
A question about immigration.
Sure.
Why is it that large numbers of single adult men are being released into the United States just hours after being apprehended at the southern border?
Well, I'm not sure the specifics of what you're referring to, Peter. What I can tell you in terms of what our policy is and how we're approaching the border is that we continue to be under Title 42. Migrants who cannot be expelled under Title 42 are placed into immigration proceedings. And one of those avenues could be placement in an alternative to detention program in the interior of the United States. Sometimes that means moving migrants to other parts of the United States to move to different detention facilities where they wait for next steps in the immigration process, such as a court hearing, and are required to check in with a local ICE office. So that is certainly something that is happening out there in the country and is consistent with our policy.
R.J. Howman is FAIR's Director of Government Relations and Communications. He joins us now on the line. R.J., thanks so much for making time for us today.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, one of the things I'm looking at in this story at the border is the insanity of the policy. We saw just a couple of days ago, you can use your arrest warrant as ID to get on an airplane if you're an illegal immigrant. They're shuttling them around on the Air Biden flights. They're doing all this sort of stuff, and it just doesn't seem to be picking up any kind of traction inside the broader political conversation. What's going on here?
Yeah, the border crisis is the new normal, and it's actually good to hear Jen Psaki or President Biden have to answer a question related to our borders, not Ukraine's, but that's not here nor there. But yeah, I mean, this is some footage that obviously Bill Malugan at Fox News was able to acquire of a lot of single adults, the people that they claim are being promptly removed, being released into the interior of the country. Listen, the Border Patrol is so bogged down there. The resources are stretched so thin. Even if they wanted to deport everybody immediately, even if the Biden administration policies allowed that, they wouldn't be able to. Okay, not only are they not able to actually secure our borders and be out there apprehending people, all they're doing is processing folks. So again, there's so many loopholes in our existing law and current policies that have been instituted by the Biden administration where we just release everybody. And again, you basically become an American citizen of sorts. You can fly on an airplane. Heck, we need to show our IDs. We got to take off our shoes. They'll pull us to the side. But if you're an illegal alien going anywhere in the country, you can travel as you see fit. This problem, again, is the new normal. And it's a real shame. I mean, now we're seeing, if you just looked at the numbers that the Biden administration was hiding, they held on to the numbers for December, a month when border apprehensions normally plummet. They finally released them yesterday on January 24th. and it was 178,000 people were apprehended. That is more than December 2018, 2019, and 2020 combined, and it brings us to about 2 million apprehensions total in Biden's first calendar year. So this crisis, it's not ending anytime soon. The Biden administration rescinded every single effective President Trump executive order his first day in office, and they introduced more policy memorandums, and they're doing all they can by abusing their executive authority to make the trip up here more enticing and allow everybody to stay. I hope the American people are watching and they make their voice heard at the polls in November 2022.
Do you have a rough number as to how many you think have actually crossed since Joe Biden took that that measure to open the borders his first day into the White House? Do we have a rough estimate?
We have a firm number on the amount of apprehensions, which is just right around 2 million. Now, some of those people that are apprehended are removed via Title 42.
Right.
Many of those people then turn around and try it again. But the one number that we don't track, or that they track but they won't release, is the number of gotaways. Mm-hmm. The people that, you know, a Border Patrol official sees come into the interior of the country, they're required to radio that back, and the headquarters tracks it. So they know internally how many people got away, and that's just people that they saw get away. We don't know how many people came in without us knowing. That number has to be through the roof. Illegal aliens, the amount of illegal aliens in our country is just at an astronomical level since President Biden took office. But yeah, again, they're keeping everything under wraps. One other, you know, big report that the administration always issues at the end of a fiscal year are how many people, you know, ICE has deported.
Right.
They are still keeping that close because they know if they actually release those numbers, the American people will be able to see that once you disappear into the interior of the country, once you're released, and as Psaki said, supposedly going into immigration proceedings, you don't show up at your proceedings. You disappear. You live here illegally because you know you will not get deported.
It's an incredible flaunting of the law. It is an insane policy that we have wide open in this era of the war on terror, and of course what's going on with COVID and everything else. It's also an open line for human trafficking, human smuggling, and by that I'm talking young girls, young boys, men and women alike, who are being trafficked up into our country and to who knows where. It's a heartbreaking situation. Where do people get more information on how they can reach out to your organization?
Oh, it's go to www.fairus.org and learn of ways to contact your elected officials. You have one big party up here in Capitol Hill who doesn't give two craps about securing our border. They care about many other things, rewarding people illegally so they can cement political control for decades. Go to fairus.org and learn for easy ways to contact your lawmakers here in Washington.
Appreciate you being out there, RJ. We'll get together again soon, my friend.
Thank you.
Take care. That's RJ from what's going on over at FAIR. It's absurd. Here, listen to this. This is cut number nine. I'm going to use cut number nine here. This is Peter Ducey talking to Jen Psaki about why it is people who are in the country illegally aren't reporting to their ICE meetings. Go.
And you mentioned that they're supposed to check in at a local ICE office, but we know that just between March and August, which is a very small sample size, DHS says more than 47,000 of these migrants that were given notices to report did not show up. So why let them into the U.S. unsupervised in the first place?
Well, again, we have a stringent protocols and processes that we implement here that includes expelling individuals who come in under Title 42, given we are still in a global pandemic, and includes those who do not show up will be subject to the repercussions of that. So that is the policy we're implementing from our Homeland Security Department.
Okay.
Repercussions. Oh, not the dreaded repercussions. News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Boomer.
Yes,
what are the repercussions for driving around?
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Out there today. It's the Brett Winterbull Show. All right, let me check in with Stan. It's not a show till Stan checks in, and I always like that. Hello, Stan. What's on your mind, sir?
How are you doing, Brett?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Yeah, I want to contrast, MTV, I want to contrast with you the morality between the income tax and the consumption-based taxes.
Yes, sir.
In the Bible, the political leaders and religious leaders that asked Jesus, should we pay tribute to Caesar?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows Jesus' response, but what they don't understand is what his response meant. He answered the real question. It's not whether you owe Caesar or not. It's how much do you owe Caesar?
Mm-hmm.
And with the income tax, what we've done is we've replaced God with Caesar, because we put Caesar in the position of deciding how much we owe him. Whereas when we use the consumption-based taxes, it allows us to just simply stop buying when the taxes have become too high, allowing us to tell government
mm-hmm.
how big it will be instead of the government dictating to us by force how big they will be.
That's a huge point, because government gets to decide how high those rates. I mean, government could get together tomorrow. Once upon a time, we had a 70% rate. They just put it as high as they want and take all your stuff.
And here's the thing. It puts us in the position of having to solve our problems within a corrupt system. Because, just for an example, sure. Why do you think it is that Gavin Newsom has $75 million to spend on his campaign
mm-hmm.
and Larry Elder had none?
Right.
When the government can dictate who gets money, they can control everything.
Look, I am with you 100% in terms of the income tax and what that represents. Now, the argument that you'll get in response from people is, well, if you go to a consumption tax, that taxes the lower income people the most, right? That's what they'll tell you. Say, okay, it taxes the lower income people the most, just like inflation does, right? Which is created almost entirely by government.
Right.
See, this is an insane reality, and there we have got to have smart enough people. Flat, fair consumption, whatever it is. People need to understand you want to get rid of the income tax. Think about the man hours that get put in for companies to have to send out W-2s, for you to have to go and process your paperwork, for you to put it all together on a Sunday afternoon where you start at noon and you're not done till 8 o'clock that night because you're getting all your ducks in a row and all your numbers in a row. I mean, when you really think about what it is that you have to do and what a drag that kind of compliance is on the American economy, I can't even imagine.
Brett, the whole thing with the income tax is it's not for revenue for the government. When you tax something, you get less of it.
Of course.
So when you tax incomes,
right.
You create a society where people have less income.
Well, of course.
And thus less prosperity.
Right.
Why would you want a society with less prosperity?
You wouldn't, unless you're in government. You wouldn't want that.
Correct. That's correct.
That's it. And so you're right. And that's an important thing. And I would hope at some point people would be willing to have a mature conversation about the evils of this thing. Because I got news for you. Stan, you see all the $85 million worth of stuff that we're putting on an airplane and sending over to Ukraine right now?
Yes.
You bought it. I bought it. The people in this audience bought it. And we had no say in that purchase to send to Ukraine. And then once Putin pulls out, that stuff still sits in Ukraine, right?
Or in Afghanistan.
And Afghanistan.
Right.
I mean, my gosh, they're spending your money to buy stuff that you would never sign off on, but they get to do it. They get to do it. And when you ask a question, when you ask a basic question, you get called a stupid SOB like Biden did.
Yeah. We have to fix that and make this country free again.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you're right. Way to go, man. I appreciate you, Stan. You're a great call. He's always such a great call. NFL's Odell Beckham Jr. took his $750,000 salary in Bitcoin. Now, there's a problem out there. Do you know what the problem is with the Bitcoin? It's not worth what it was in November. It's dropped in value. So how much did it end up costing him? Beckham announced upon joining the Los Angeles Rams in November, he planned to convert his salary to Bitcoin. Los Angeles Rams wide receiver made headlines last November when he announced this. The problem for Beckham is that Bitcoin prices have been plummeting. Cryptocurrencies, including Bitcoin and Ethereum, all of that stuff, they've fallen. In fact, you had Bitcoin fall below $35,000, including a 4% drop in the last 24 hours. It's bad news for crypto investors and for Beckham, who claimed to be converting $750,000 into Bitcoin in a deal with The Block Incorporated. Action Network is reporting that the deal was made November 12th, a week after the veterans receivers release by the Cleveland Browns, and a day when Bitcoin cost $64,158. That price is down 46.5% from that day. Based on Monday's Bitcoin prices, assuming Beckham did convert a lump sum of $750 into Bitcoin that was made in November, that salary is now $401,000. Despite the drop in value, he would still have to pay taxes on income provided to him at its $750,000 value. There's your income tax, ladies and gentlemen. There's your income tax. Oh, in addition to federal tax, Beckham will have to pay state income tax in California, where the Rams play, which has some of the highest income tax rates in the country. State income tax brackets indicate the upper reaches of his income qualifies him for a 12.3% tax rate, which kicks in at $625,000. His overall compensation, including a signing bonus and incentives, was reported to be worth at least $4.25 million. So we don't really know what the story is. But nevertheless, that's a big haircut, man. Going from 750 to 401, it's a good thing I was smart enough not to invest in the Bitcoin. You know what that means? That means my money's worth what my money is. It didn't have to go up and then come back down. Nice and stable. Oh, wait a minute, there's inflation. Hold on a minute. So you're telling me if I want to go buy that Jimmy Dean sausage or something like that, that's going to cost me an extra $4, $7, $9? Really? Nine extra dollars? But it's not a 46% hit like the Bitcoin took. I want to get paid in sausage and biscuits. Yes. I want to get, that's it. Sausage and biscuits and gravy. Yeah. In fact, I want to be paid in fried chicken that has been soaked in sausage.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
It's gravy. News Talk 1110 993 WBT, Brett Winterbull Show. So I'm looking at this reaction that is coming out from these different police officers have been assassinated, murdered in the line of duty. And what's incredible to me is that we're not seeing the sort of outpouring of love and support for these families that you would expect would happen. A second New York City police officer has died after being shot at a domestic violence call in Harlem this weekend. Officer Wilbert Mora, 27, who died Tuesday, is three times a hero, the police commissioner said, for choosing life of service, for sacrificing his life to protect others, for giving life even in death through organ donation. Mora was shot while responding to a 911 call Friday night from a woman who was in a dispute with her son. She said her son was in a back bedroom, and when the officers approached the bedroom, the door swung open. The suspect fired, striking the police officers. Jason Rivera was the first officer struck. He was 22 years old. He died. His partner, Mora, also lost his life. He died today. And it's an incredible thing to think about as we watch time and time again the sacrifice that is made for people. Look, if you hate war, then you should not go and victimize people who serve in the military. You should go and get involved in politics, or you should go and lobby elected officials to not go to war. If you hate war, if you don't want war, the military is not where you go to stop the war. You go to the politicians who order the war. We're looking at this right now with what's going on with Ukraine. If you hate the system of justice in this country, if you hate the penal system, if you hate the law and order systems in our society. If you hate the criminal justice system, you don't go and attack cops. You should go and get involved in politics. But here's the problem. Police officers are citizens as much as you are. Police officers are people as much as you are. They've got hopes and they've got worries and they've got loves and they've got all of that. They've got families. And at some point, and I know there will be a chorus of people who will say, this is great. You're going to have cops leaving the profession in massive numbers. And you're still going to live in those cities and towns. And what are you then going to do for safety? AOC ain't coming, man. She's not coming to your house to help you out when someone climbs through a window. AOC is not coming to save you. It's just not happening. Let me give you an example of something here. I think this is worth hearing. TJ, this is going to be, I'm going to use cut 7, but not yet. Okay. Is it safe to say that the left has a thing for cops, doesn't like law enforcement, doesn't like Border Patrol, doesn't like CBP, doesn't like ICE, doesn't typically stand there for the military? And much of the rhetoric that you get from the left, sounds like this. And I want to read this to you. I'm gonna read this to you. Now listen, this is a left-wing politician, and I want to get your reaction to what this left-wing politician is saying. Behind these numbers concerning gun violence in the United States are heartbroken families who have lost their loved ones. This is both shocking and poignant. One gunshot after another left countless bullet holes in the American dream. The smell of gunpowder drifting in the air set people thinking and questioning, does the democracy that the U.S. champions have no regard for life? Does the freedom the U.S. advocates mean freedom to shoot other people? Gun violence has become a malignant social tumor in the United States, interwoven and overlapping with other issues, including a pandemic raging unchecked, drug abuse, and racial discrimination. It has become a severe systemic human rights issue. Oddly, as the American people suffer, politicians keep looking the other way with indifference. They are busy blowing their own trumpet and lecturing others. Do they have any right, any moral authority, any confidence to do so? These shocking numbers will have a sobering effect on those people, I hope, so they can reflect upon themselves and take concrete actions to improve their human rights conditions. Do you agree with what that person just said? Do you agree with the way they're describing this? Do you agree with that? That America's dream has died because of one bullet after another bullet hole in the American dream. That leftist politician is this politician.
Behind these numbers concerning gun violence in the U.S. are heartbroken families who have lost their loved ones. This is both shocking and poignant. One gunshot after another left countless bullet holes in the American dream. The smell of gunpowder drifting in the air set people thinking and questioning. Does the democracy the U.S. champions have no regard for life? Does the freedom the U.S. advocates mean freedom to shoot other people? Gun violence has become a malignant social tumor in the U.S., interwoven and overlapping with other issues, including a pandemic raging unchecked, drug abuse and racial discrimination. It has become a severe systemic human rights issue. Oddly, as the American people suffer, U.S. politicians keep looking the other way with indifference. They are busy blowing their own trumpet and lecturing other countries. Do they have any right, any moral authority, or any confidence to do so? I hope these shocking numbers will have a sobering effect on these people so that they can reflect upon themselves and take some concrete actions to improve the domestic human rights conditions.
Your enemies, like Zhao Lijian, who is the deputy director of the Chinese Ministry for Foreign Affairs, your enemies are seeing the criminality from 10,000 miles away, and they're exploiting it. Don't try to tell me that crime is isolated to a bad neighborhood or a city. The entire world is watching what's happening under this president's tutelage, and they see us as weak, and they see it as an opportunity to erode what we are. And yet I hear no regrets.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Odd. It is the Brett Winterbull Show, and it is that time that a man with a plan to inform each and every one of you personally prepares to come to the microphone to do just that.
Indeed.
To make good on that promise. Mark Garrison, a very good afternoon to you.
How are you?
And well, what do we got coming up on the Charlotte at 6 show?
We got a lot. Day two of testimony in the trial of a former Rock Hill cop who's accused of assaulting a man during an arrest. Today on the stand, Jonathan Moreno tried to justify his actions. Tomorrow, the jury will decide if they believe him.
Mm.
Yeah. 6:20, we've got an exclusive. Some local cops do not have keys to get into Charlotte-Mecklenburg school buildings. They're
Whoa.
Supposed to. CMS knew it was a problem, and nothing happened until our Brett Jensen started asking questions about it.
Wow.
Yeah. We'll also tell you a little love story tonight. Do you like love stories?
I love love stories.
Two people who met in a shelter during that big California fire last year.
Oh, yeah.
Now getting married.
Oh, that's nice.
And it turned out they only lived a couple of miles apart for years and never knew each other till they met in a shelter.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And 6:35, Dirty Restaurant Tuesday, two different chicken joints with low scores.
No.
Yeah.
How low can they go? We'll find out.
We'll find out. Yeah.
All right, my man.
Thank you.
Mark Garrison, Charlotte at 6, coming up next up here on the Blowtorch on News Talk 1110993 WBT. Okay, let me go here and share this one with you. I have been watching very, very closely what it is that's going on here with Putin and Biden. And what's striking to me more than anything else is the fact that Vladimir Putin has much more to lose than he has to gain by invading Ukraine. And what's interesting to me as we are now in the almost the end of the football season, right? You've got the championship games coming up and then the SB after that. You'll see oftentimes the teams will line up and it'll be a kind of a desperation fourth down, and they'll try to stunt to draw the other team off sides to try to get a new set of downs, whatever it is. And I think that is what Putin is doing right now. If you think about it, Putin has his troops in his own territory. They're in Russia, okay, for all intents and purposes. Ukraine is sitting there. They're worried. And the U.S. is saying, you better not come across that line. You better not do that. What happens if you have the Russians come across that line and they invade Ukraine? What will happen? Well, with the exception of Iran, North Korea, Cuba, and probably China, the Russians are going to be in for it in a big way, right? They're going to be sanctioned. They're going to be hit with the tax repercussions. They're going to be hit potentially militarily, kinetically. All that sort of stuff is going to happen. And if Putin if Putin wants to lose for the first time, it's possible he might. Because you may be inviting a whole bunch of NATO assets coming into the other NATO countries that are surrounding Russia. Rather than driving them out of the region, you may be bringing them in. Now, what if his game is to say, okay, here's the deal. I'm going to give you, I'm going to pull the troops back, but you're going to give me these concessions. Now, we know that we have a president and an administration that likes to give concessions because he did it with the Taliban. Did it with the Taliban, did it with Afghanistan. And this is what's so dangerous about this sort of stuff. As I was talking before we went to that last break, you know, that's the foreign ministry spokesperson for China that's basically taunting the American dream and saying, oh, look, you have guns. Everybody's got guns. You're shooting holes in the whole American dream. There is no American dream. You have racism. You have a pandemic and you have drug abuse. The pandemic and the drug abuse is directly attributable to the CCP and the exploitation of racial issues. That's an old card that they can try to play. But let's not forget, it is the Chinese Communist Party that has millions of people interred in a camp in Western China because they are Muslims. The facts are this. None of the politics that are going on in our world today are out of the view of any other body in the world. When there's a riot in America, the world sees it on CNN. When there's drama in Europe, the world sees it on the BBC. When there is a dangerous situation taking place in Asia, that goes out to be broadcast worldwide. What? So when you're saying to me, let me understand. So what you're telling me is, what do people see on MSNBC? I don't think anybody watches that channel. I don't think you see anything covered over there. But the fact of the matter is, none of this stuff happens absent the eyes of the world. So Putin goes and invades Ukraine. Suddenly, he's known as the guy that invaded Ukraine. And as weird and silly as we have in terms of our American politics reacting to that, we didn't invade Ukraine. He did. It's going to make life really hard on the Russians. I don't think he's going to go for it. I think he's trying to draw us into some kind of a mess or extract a pound of flesh to get out of the neighborhood. And the reality is President Biden doesn't have much to stand on because he's basically telling him, move back in your own country. He's in his own country. Not come across the line yet. I mean, that's it. All right, that's going to do it for us. Charlotte at 6 is up next. Thanks to TJ and Josh and Anna and Boomer, Mark Garrison, Bo Thompson, and each and every one of you. We'll do it again tomorrow starting at 3. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT.